God's holy presence, Holy Spirit's presence is here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who promised and did send the Lord and giver of life. From Ezekiel 37, as well as Jesus' words from John 15. Some of you I know EMT. You've been emergency medical training. You have that. In fact, we had a funeral here not too terribly long ago, maybe a year or so ago, where actually we had an EMT bring back to life Russ Ketterman in our front entryway there. Very, very thankful for those who have the EMT training. It's most important when somebody has stopped breathing that someone would come and breathe life back into them. How this time of CPR is very, very important. Our teachers are trained with that. Nurses and doctors and others need that. And you know of many situations where someone who, without the CPR, would have died. How significant it is, this breathing of life into a person. But CPR doesn't always work. If the person has not been breathing for 10, 15, 20 minutes, or whatever it might be, we can try CPR, but it's probably not going to work. Unless there's a miracle. And there are miracles, of course. Lots of miracles that happened, and miracles that happened in the scriptures as well. But we call CPR resuscitation because it's a resuscitating of the life rather than resurrection. Now, we have examples of resurrection in the scriptures. The most obvious is our Lord and Savior Jesus, of course. But there were also three resurrections, as you remember. There was Lazarus, there was the son of the widow of Nain, and there was Jairus' daughter. Jesus resurrected people in the New Testament. There were also resurrections in the Old Testament. Both the prophet Elijah and Elisha raised widows' sons. And then there's Ezekiel 37. The text for us tonight, Ezekiel chapter 37, this book of Ezekiel and this chapter of Ezekiel that is just so fascinating and is always the Pentecost scripture reading because it shows so much about the Holy Spirit and helps us to know about the Holy Spirit. But unlike Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and some of those books, maybe we're not quite as familiar with the book of Ezekiel. It's not real difficult reading, really. It's kind of split up into two parts. The first part, the first half, it's a lot of law. It's a lot of message of God to the people who weren't repentant, and Ezekiel will say, you need to repent of your sins, or God will come and bring punishment upon you. But then in chapter 25, and then the rest of it, and we have this gospel message, this great hope that Ezekiel brings to his people. And right in the middle of that, chapters 25 to 48, we have chapter 37, and that's our text for tonight, chapter 37, where we have the valley of the dry bones, but resurrection that happens because of the Spirit. And so Pentecost, time when we celebrate the Holy Spirit, the color red, the color for Holy Spirit and for remembering about that and so on, we have now tonight in God's Word for you and for me, R&R. I know school's out and you're thinking of rest and relaxation, aren't you? No, the R&R of Ezekiel here is restoration and resurrection for dry, dead bones. Ezekiel writes, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and they were very dry. Could have been that there was an army there. Could have been that there was a battle on that valley, and they all killed each other off somehow, and they were all left there, and nobody buried them. And so what happened is, as the time went by, the bones just became very exposed and were extremely bleached out and very, very dry. Ezekiel is there, and he sees those very, very dry bones. God speaks to Ezekiel then, and he asks him the question, Ezekiel, can these bones live?
Duh.
Well, that's not what he said. But that would be the reasonable response, wouldn't it? God, what are you talking about? Those bones are so dry, I'm not doing CPR on those. Those bones are so dry, there's just no way that there can be life in those. But Ezekiel was a man of God. Ezekiel was one whom the Holy Spirit had filled already with his presence. And so what was Ezekiel's answer? Not duh, but his answer was, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Now, one of the takeaways for tonight's sermon is, whenever you run across a question that is just an impossible one to answer, you know, we run into questions like that all the time. You can always answer this way, God knows. I certainly don't know, but God knows. Ezekiel, a man of faith. Can these bones live? Well, I don't understand how it, but God, by sovereign Lord, you know, and you know all things. Well, God, of course, wanted to teach Ezekiel a lesson and teach the Old Testament people a lesson and teach us a very important lesson. And so he asks this question, and then he answers it as well. And so he says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry, dead bones. Prophesy and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. God's word is powerful. God's word brings life. God's word is something that he gives to Ezekiel, he gives to you and to me for the very purpose of raising dead bones, of bringing life to people who are dead. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as Ezekiel does speak to those, he speaks God's word to them, and it says there's a rattling that happens, and the bones come to bones, and the tendons come together, and the muscles come upon those, and flesh comes upon them, but there is no breath. Boy, is that instructive. You know, there's people that can hear the word of God. They hear the word of God and there's some activity that starts happening. There's some activity and it looks kind of hopeful, like something is going to be happening, like maybe they're really going to become Christians and really become believers. But there's no breath in them. There's really no life that is in them just yet. And so God comes to Ezekiel a third time. Can these bones live? Prophesy to these bones, the word of God. Now he says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the wind. Ezekiel, prophesy and speak God's word to the wind, the breath. How interesting it is that as Ezekiel then, come from the four winds, O breath, Ezekiel says, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied as was commanded, and breath entered the corpses, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. You see, when that breath of life was spoken to the people, and God gave that breath of life to those corpses, they became living beings. Sound familiar? Sound kind of like the creation of Adam? The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. How fascinating it is that God breathes his life into you and me through his word. And he breathes it into us through each and every one of us. He told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you prophesied to the breath, and Ezekiel did, and the breath came into the clay. Now, if it was just clay and wind, we'd have a lot of living people here in Kansas. We got clay, don't we? And we have wind. But it takes more than clay and wind in order for people to come and know the Lord and Savior Jesus. It takes the Word of God. And the Word of God is what God gives to us, His church. Yeah, he did it on Pentecost. He did it even before that in the Old Testament. He continues to give it to us today. He empowers us with his word, with his breath, with his wind, with his spirit. Oh, how fascinating it is that as the scriptures speak to us, they use the same word, ruach, for breath, for wind, for spirit. And as it uses these words, it talks about that the breath of the Holy Spirit is breathed into his people, and they then are changed people, and they have new life. On Pentecost, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, ruach. And as they heard that sound of the mighty rushing wind, there were tongues of fire that came and settled on each of them, symbols of the Holy Spirit. And they began to ruach, speak all kinds of different languages. And they spoke all those different kinds of languages so that every person who was there could hear about Jesus in their native tongue, so that the Holy Spirit might breathe the breath of life and salvation into them as well. And you know, we didn't read it as we could have continued reading on, but 3,000 people baptized on that day of Pentecost, and the church began to grow, and it continued to grow, and how very significant it was that that new life was breathed into those disciples. Those disciples went out and breathed that life into others. You can't speak without breathing. I think that's a fascinating thing as well. The Holy Spirit has to be inside of us first before we can breathe out that message to others. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you're here tonight in order to get that Holy Spirit in you once again. We always come to receive the gifts that God gives to us, to receive the breath of life, to receive the gifts of word and sacrament, to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he sends us back out into the world to breathe the word of God through our words, through our actions, through everything that we do, so that as others see us and hear us, that the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. And that breath, that spirit, that life is given to them as well. Oh, how very significant it is that as that first Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit came and filled those people, so also Pentecost continues. It continues whenever we're together. It continues in your home as you do your devotions together and God's word is spoken to you and it's breathed into you. It's here together as we gather in worship and in Bible studies and in other opportunities that the Holy Spirit continues to come and to fill us and to fill us with the Spirit and the breath. So that in all the different activities that we do, whether it's at the gym, or whether it's at sports, or whether it's with a youth group, or whether it's with a men's group that drinks coffee together, or whatever it might be, that filling station attendant, or all the different opportunities that we have, the breath can be breathed out to them. And as we live our lives, as the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us, we breathe that life out, so that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, who works through us, his people. What a joy, what a privilege, these dead, dry bones that God chooses to work through to bring life to me, to you, and to the world. May God continue to enliven us so that he might work through us to enliven others. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may that peace of God that passes all our understanding always keep our hearts and our minds filled with Jesus and the Holy Spirit until life everlasting. Amen.